तस्मिन्
कूपे
अहिते
नष्टे
कृतमूले
वनस्पतौ
विटपा
इव
शुष्यन्ति
विष्णुप्राणाः
लौकसः तस्मिन् कूपे हिते नष्टे
ऋतमूले
वनस्पतौ विटपा इव शुष्यन्ति विष्णुप्राणादिलौकसः तस्मिन् कूपे हिते नष्टे ऋतमूले वनस्पतौ विटपा इव शुष्यन्ति विष्णुप्राणादिलौकसः तस्मिन् कूपे हिते नष्टे ऋतमूले वनस्पतौ विटपा इव शुष्यन्ति विष्णुप्राणादिलौकसः
तस्मिन् कूटे हिते नष्टे
ऋतमूले वनस्पतौ
विटपाय शुष्यन्ति
विष्णुप्राणादिलौकसः
तस्मिन् कूटे हिते नष्टे
ऋतमूले वनस्पतौ
विटपाय शुष्यन्ति
विष्णुप्राणादिलौकसः
तस्मिन् कूटे हिते नष्टे
ऋतमूले वनस्पतौ
विटपाय शुष्यन्ति
विष्णुप्राणादिलौकसः
तस्मिन् कूटे हिते नष्टे
ऋतमूले वनस्पतौ
विटपा इव शुष्यन्ति
विष्णुप्राणादिवौकसः
तस्मिन् कूटे हिते नष्टे
ऋतमूले वनस्पतौ
विटपा इव शुष्यन्ति
विष्णुप्राणादिलौकसः
तस्मिन् कूटे हिते नष्टे
ऋतमूले वनस्पतौ
विटपा इव शुष्यन्ति
विष्णुप्राणादिलौकसः
तस्मिन्
when he
कूटे
the most deceitful
अहिते
enemy
नष्टे
is finished
कृतमूले
having its roots cut off
वनस्पतौ
a tree
विटपाः
the branches and leaves
इव like
शुष्यन्ति
dry up
विष्णुप्राणाः
whose life is Lord Vishnu
Diva Okasaha
the demigods
Translation. When the root of a tree is cut and the tree falls down, its branches and twigs automatically dry up. Similarly, when I have killed this diplomatic Vishnu, the demigods, for whom Vishnu is the life and soul, will lose the source of their life and wither away. Please repeat. When the root of a tree is cut,
when the root of the tree is cut,
and the tree falls down,
and the tree falls down,
its branches and twigs,
its branches and twigs,
automatically dry up,
automatically dry up.
Similarly, when I have killed, this diplomatic Vishnu, the demigods, for whom Lord Vishnu is the life and soul, will lose the source of their life and wither away. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
The difference between the demigods and the demons is here explained. The demigods always follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the demons simply plan to disturb or kill him. Nevertheless, sometimes the demons very much appreciate the full dependence of the demigods upon the mercy of the Lord. This is indirect glorification of the demigods by the demons. Om jnana timaranthasya jnananjana shilakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai shri gurave namah shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam jena bhutale svayam rupa kadamahyam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Kurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Pitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Pitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tatta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpadarubhishcha Kripa-sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Tasmin Kute Hite Nashte Krita Mude Vanaspatao Vitapai Vishushyanti Vishnu Prana Devokasaha. When the root of a tree is cut and the tree falls down, its branches and twigs automatically dry up. Similarly, when I have killed this diplomatic Vishnu, the demigods, for whom Lord Vishnu is the life and soul, will lose the source of their life and wither away. Here we see the calculations of the demoniac mentality in the person of Hiranyakashipu. His actual purpose is to destroy Vishnu. But to destroy Vishnu is, in most people's minds, maybe a little bit remote. So his plan is actually to destroy all the tangible manifestations of Vishnu in his circle, in his realm of affairs. In other words, he wants to destroy any tangible manifestation of dharma in human society. And since these are not human beings, after all, but demigods, he's thinking of destroying the demigods by destroying the source of their maintenance. Vishnu Prana Diva Okasaha. The demigods Diva Okasa. Does anybody know what it means? Diva Okasa? They live in the sky. Demigods. We know there are three worlds. Bhurbhuvasva. So the demigods are living, they're not in the Bhu realm. They control the Bhu realm, but actually they live in the sky. And Vishnu Prana, you cannot become a demigod unless Lord Vishnu is your life and soul. This is the point. And we know the famous verse, Vishnu Bhakta Sprito Deva Asuras Tad Viparaya. The Deva is defined as by his obedience and his attachment to Lord Vishnu. So here they're described as Vishnu Prana. Their very life is Lord Vishnu. This is Hiranyakashipu appreciates this. So the analogy is that as you cut a tree at the root, so the tree, the branches and leaves will automatically dry up. So he's understood that the root of all things that oppose my plan is Vishnu. So his program is to kill Vishnu. Krishna describes this also in Bhagavad Gita when he describes the demoniac mentality. They cannot stand that Vishnu is so prominent. They want to get rid of him. They say there's no God. Everything is happening by chance. It's all only based for sense gratification. Kama-hetukam. Kama-hetukam means kama is the only motive in everything. This is the demoniac mentality. Because that's their only motive, therefore they ascribe this to all other living beings. So, tasmin kute ahite nashte kritamule vanaspatau. This is all one, what we call locative absolute. All these things are in the same case. For that reason, some of the words are a little bit ambiguous. Kute ahite. Kuta means, or here, means most deceitful, just like we talk about kuti, kutinati. Diplomatic behavior or political behavior, deceptive behavior, because politics actually means deception. In English, they now have an interesting phrase to describe this. They call it perception management. You manage someone else's perceptions of events. Perception management. It's a very scientific sounding word for basically deception, chala. So, this is his conception of Lord Vishnu. He's thinking that Lord Vishnu is calculating to get things and to maneuver things the same way that he does. We know from Chanika Pandit that as we are ourselves, we see the whole world. Atmavan manyate jagat. If you have a deceptive mentality, you see deceptive people everywhere you go. There's a nice analogy also given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Well, we know that Krishna tells Uddhava in the 11th canto the nature of different kinds of residences. He says, Vanam tu sattviko vaso. To live in the forest, that is a sattvic existence. That's a sattvic residence. Vanam tu sattviko vaso, gramo rajasu uchete. The city is considered to be passionate residence. Tamasum dyuta sadanam, a place where there's sinful activities going on, such as gambling and intoxication. This is a tamasic residence. Mandiketam tu nirgunam. But he says, my abode, my temple, this is also a dham. This is also the abode of Lord Vishnu. That place, he says, is nirvana. It's above the modes of material nature. So, His idea is that when the trees are cut down at the root, then automatically everything that extends from the trees will be destroyed. So kute ahite. He's describing Lord Vishnu by these words. He's very diplomatic. He's also very cruel. Ahita. Ahita. How many times do we find this word in Bhagavad Gita? Sarvabhuta hite rata. Many times, Krishna says, this is the characteristic of a devotee. A devotee is trying to help others. A devotee is trying to serve others, trying to advance others. You see? But the demon is calculating in terms of envy, and he's trying to cut down others. So he's assuming that Lord Vishnu has the same characteristic, Atmavan Manyate Jagat. So Nashte, therefore when he's destroyed, this is the idea, he's got the plan that Lord Vishnu can be destroyed. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, commenting on this verse, points out that actually Lord Vishnu cannot be destroyed. Therefore the word Nashta has to be taken in some other sense. And if we consult the dictionary, we'll find out also that the word Nashta doesn't just mean destroyed. It's the bhute kridanta of the verbal kriyadhatu nash. Nash means to be destroyed. But actually it also means something else. It means to be invisible. Antardhan, you say. So he's saying that this can only be that Lord Vishnu can disappear. Now this whole material world is actually meant to facilitate this illusion of the fallen souls like ourselves. We're more similar to Hiranyakashipu than we are to the Vishnu Prana Devaukasa. That's why we're in this material world. This is the world for such persons. When we no longer want to submit to Lord Vishnu and no longer want to please him or his representatives, then we have to be given some facility to act out on our impossible dreams. So, what do we want to do? In this material world, there are basically only two things that we can do. There are only two non-devotional options. One of them is that you try to exploit Vishnu's energies. And when you become a sahajiya, you try to exploit Vishnu directly. You try to enjoy Vishnu. So you try to exploit his resources, you try to enjoy his things and his parts and parcels also. You try to control and enjoy those things. That's called bhoga. And when you create a big mess through that endeavor, because you have to create a mess by doing that, there's no real option. Since we're not the supreme controller, when we try to act as if we were, it only creates a big mess. That mess is called karma bandhana. We become entangled in so many reactions, and we have to suffer. What kind of things do we suffer? We suffer the threefold miseries of material existence. We suffer birth, death, old age, and disease. We suffer so many illusions. We suffer in so many ways. So that's the world of karma. Or in this day and age, karma is no longer the default. We have to qualify. It's actually vikarma. If you do nothing but take birth and become socialized in modern society, you will automatically be trained up to become a vikarmi. That means a papi, sinful person. It's automatic. You don't have to make any endeavor. Which is another way of saying that if you do nothing, you're going to go to hell. So you have to swim upstream, so to speak. And those of us who are born in the foreign countries especially, but that means also modern Indian cities, such as Chennai and Bangalore. I don't call it Bangalore, I call it Los Angeles. Because they're, you know, as we say in Hindi, Koi bhi fark nahi, There's really no difference at all. So, this is the problem. It's Kali Yuga, and we should never forget that. We should never assume that the injunctions of Shastra are meant for someone else. The Shastra has very strict guidelines for how to act in this world, and we have to follow them. Krishna himself says this in Bhagavad Gita in many places. For example, he says, Yas Shastra Vidham Utsrijya Vartate Kama Karataha Nasa Siddhim Avapnoti Nasukham Naparamati. That person cannot be successful in anything who is going to reject the injunctions of the Shastras and try to do things independently or whimsically. So he says, Tasmat Chastram Pramanam Te Karya Karya Vijanataha. Yesterday we heard very nicely from Bhakti Vikas Swami that the activities of Lord Ramchandra are valuable for all human beings, or that is to say, people who want to become human beings. Because remember, by default, we're not human beings. Humanity is not defined biologically. Humanity is not defined biologically. What is the word for humanity? Manava. Manushya. Manuja. All of them relate to Manu. Manu is the original Dharma Shastrakara. And whatever he's written, Taittiriya Aranyaka says, Shruti Mantra says, whatever Manu says, that is medicine. This is Shruti Mantra. You cannot deny this. Very, very important point. And Manu has given all the rules how to live in this world. Srila Prabhupada, we find in so many purports he describes like this. And Srila Prabhupada also recognizes that in the modern day and age, so many upstarts try to cut at the root of Dharma in human society, to try to cut at the root of its tangible manifestation by cutting out personalities like Mahajanas, such as Manu. Manu is a Mahajana, Bhakti Mahajana. There are 12 Mahajanas, we know. These people teach us about devotional service. So that's another point, but here the idea is that we can try to enjoy by either sinful enjoyment, which is the dominant paradigm nowadays, or if we're a little bit intelligent, we go for pious enjoyment because you can sustain that a little bit longer. Sustain. We talk about now the new buzzword everywhere is sustainability, isn't it? People want sustainable agriculture, sustainable standards, you see? So where do you get sustenance from? Dharma. Well, why do I say that? Actually, it's described. Krishna himself tells Uddhava in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto that dharma is the wealth of a human being. Ishta dharma dhanam namanam. Dharma is the wealth of a human being. So sustenance. The dhatu is dhri. What does dhri mean? What did we call him when he lifted Govardhan home? Govardhan? Dhari. Dhri means to sustain something, to bear it, to hold it up. Dharti. The earth is called dharti, no? Because she bears everything. So this is dharma. It sustains everything. So human civilization means actually dharma. Humanity, according to Hitopadesh, is defined, again, not biologically, but in terms of adherence to dharma. Dharmasya hina pashubhisamana. A human being is virtually an animal unless he recognizes this fact practically. You have to recognize it practically. And this is what Hiranyakashipu does not want. He's trying to destroy its practical manifestation in the form of the demigods. Because the demigods are the ones administering all this material creation. They're the mid-level management of the cosmic manifestation, you might say. So, bhoga, that's the world of bhoga. Whether it's sinful or pious, you know, everyone decides for himself. We try to exploit Lord Vishnu or his things. Then, after having made a mess of that and suffered as the result, the natural result, we suffer these, we've already mentioned, threefold miseries, modes of material nature, kicking us around like a football. Then we become a little bit detached and we start looking for some other alternatives. That's basically called dhyan. It leads to mukti. And it's escapism. Ultimate escapism. We create a big mess through our own stupid decisions, and then we try to run away from the reactions. That is mukti. It's not very glorious. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada's books make it very clear, as do our shastras in general, that both of these non-devotional options in life are really just rascaldom. They may be licit rascaldom, as opposed to illicit rascaldom. But it's rascaldom. Trying to run away from God or trying to exploit God is equally nefarious. Okay, so now in order to justify this endeavor, Hiranyakashipu is, as we say, projecting all of his own anarthas onto Lord Vishnu. Tasmin kute hite nashte. And he's hoping that he can destroy Vishnu, but he cannot. So, Srila Prabhupada's purport has said some very interesting things as well. The difference between the demigods and the demons is here explained. The demigods always follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At least they try. They may not always succeed, but they try. Just like us, we may not always follow everything. But we try. Sometimes we hear this argument that it's Kali Yuga and, you know, things don't, you can't apply the old paradigms. We need a new paradigm now. But that's not supported by Srila Prabhupada's purport to Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, text 31, in which he says that even if you cannot always follow every single instruction, at least you try to follow. And because you don't resent the principle the way that Hiranyakashipu does, therefore you will also eventually be elevated. In commenting on the opening verses of chapter 18 of Bhagavad Gita, many acharyas, including Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladeva Vidyabhushan, and others, They're looking at the nature of renunciation, because what is the question that opens chapter 18 of Bhagavad Gita? Who knows? Arjuna asks a question. What is it? How many people read Bhagavad Gita every day? Raise your hand. Every day. The people are like this. they're not showing their hands. You see? If we read Bhagavad Gita every day, then we know the answer to this question. Arjuna asks Krishna, what is the nature of renunciation? Tell me about, what is real renunciation? And Krishna says, anybody know what Krishna says? He says, there are two opinions on this. One opinion is that to give up activity, that's renunciation. Who holds this opinion? You give up all action. Who says this? Mayavadis, impersonalists. And Krishna says the other is that you give up only the fruits of action, but you continue to act. Then Krishna tells Arjuna very clearly which of these two opinions he endorses. Who can tell me which one it is? Should be in the, yeah. He says that, in my final opinion, Krishna says, is that a person who gives up the fruits of activities, that person is really renounced. Not just a person who gives up activities in general. Which means that there is never a point in which you renounce, say, for example, a niyatam karma. You always do this. Maybe we find some examples, very rarely, of great personalities who are avadhutas. But as a general social convention, duty, prescribed duty should never be given up. Because the nature and the purifying agent or the purifying ingredient of prescribed duty is threefold. Yajna, dana, tapa. These three things, Krishna says several times, should never be renounced because they purify even great souls. So, Srila Prabhupada says this, that the demigods, they always succeed in performing their prescribed duty. Just like the sun. Someone in Chennai the other day asked me, why does Krishna always come in India? If he's the Lord of the whole Jagannath, so why doesn't he come somewhere else sometimes? So I answered his question with another question. Why does the sun always rise in the east? Why not sometimes in the south or in the west? There is an order to the universe. This is called in Vedic language, Rita. It's the inviolable order of the cosmic manifestation that things are happening in a certain way. And dharma is the tangible manifestation of that Rita. It's metaphysical. Dharma means also the intrinsic property of a thing. Therefore, there's no difference between your prescribed duty and your intrinsic property, your intrinsic nature. Every swabhava has its corresponding set of practical actions, which should not be given up, because no other swadharma matches your own swabhava. And this is another thing that Krishna says twice in Bhagavad Gita. Who knows the verse? You should not give up your own prescribed duty and try to do someone else's prescribed duty. Even if you think you can do that person's duty better, it doesn't work. Another very important point. That's why he says it twice, as we mentioned last night. If it's going to be on the test, he says it a few times so that you get it. Okay. So this is what the devas do. They're not envious of the order of the Lord or his creation. And they try, even if they sometimes fail. And we see throughout the Shastras, devas do fail. Even demigods fail. Does Surya fail? No. He's unfailing. Every day at the prescribed time, he's there. We're not there. But he's there. Therefore, he's considered the representative of Narayana. He's Achala. Okay. The demons, on the other hand, simply plan to disturb or kill Vishnu. That we've already described. They've got their own, every one of them thinks that he's the center of all attention, the center of all activity, and the only priority out of 8,400,000 other species and how many zillions of people. Every demon is thinking, I'm the real thing, and everybody else is just part of my energy. This is what a demon is thinking. So, they're always trying to get rid of whatever obstructs that dream, including mainly Vishnu. But, even here Prabhupada points out a very interesting point. Nevertheless, sometimes the demons very much appreciate the full dependence of the demigods upon the mercy of the Lord. Why would that be? Why is it that the demons very much appreciate the full dependence of the demigods? Nowadays, dependence is practically a bad word you should not say. Dependence is never encouraged in modern society. If you go into some city, just like I was in Chennai the other day, so you see billboards advertising the schools, maybe probably here in Salem you see them as well. You know, make your child a leader, right? Have anyone ever seen a billboard that says, make your child a follower? They're all encouraging independence, right? Who has seen any encouragement in mainstream media or in education for sure, business world? Be dependent. Be a follower. Be humble. Because it's a demoniac society. These things are not valued. What they value is envy, competition with Vishnu. The rebellious spirit is very much appreciated in modern society because the modern society is demoniac. You should make no mistake about that. And to try to, as we heard yesterday, dovetail. To try to dovetail a demoniac society in Krishna's service is a little bit like trying to offer the deity contaminated foodstuffs that are not meant to be eaten by human beings. I won't use the word for it, but you can all use your own imagination. It's like trying to offer intoxication, illicit sex, meat eating, and gambling to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional service. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You will never get off the ground if that's your approach. Similarly, if you try to establish a stable society on the basis of anything other than God and His pre-existing system, it will never go anywhere. And we see this. We see it practically. We see it practically. Society is so messed up, even after half a century of, say, for example, you know, women's liberation. Prabhupada used to pick on this point quite a bit, that it's actually just a trick by the men to exploit. Either they want votes, or they want money, or something. But it's exploitation. So the demons are constantly calculating like this, how to cut off Vishnu, how to get him out of the picture. I was coming in from Vrindavan to the airport in order to fly south now, and went through some towns outside of Goragon. Goragon is a big IT hub nowadays, full of secular, modern, so-called materially successful people. And even the cities now, they're building new cities. And Noida is another similar situation. They can't even give their cities a name that sounds remotely Indian because they don't want anything to do with that. It's too much Vishnu. So they have to name their cities places like, I actually saw this, Flower Valley, English word. Hilltown is another one. Center Point. You know, used to be that you have neighborhoods such as Dwarka, even in New Delhi, or you would get Ramakrishnapuram, right? Very South Indian sounding. You see, godly things. You know, now I think you find nothing like that. Even in Vrindavan, there's one of them, 11 Flowers Restaurant. Used to be, you know, Giri Tari Lal Ka Dhaba. But, you know, this, we want to get God out of the picture. It's atheism. Prominent atheism. And the only reason is so we can be in the center. Just like Ritvik's. This is another thing. Ritvik pushes the gurus out of the picture so that they can themselves become de facto gurus. Even though they won't admit it. So it's only really cheating. So the demons, they very much appreciate the full dependence of the demigods on the mercy of the Lord. Why is that? We haven't answered this question yet. Who has any sages here? Well, how is it that the demons also appreciate that these demigods are fully independent? Or fully dependent? I will answer this with a shloka from Chanika Pandit. He says, anywhere and always, the poor people envy the rich people. Anywhere and all the time. The unchaste, they envy the chaste. And the fools envy those who are intelligent, the wise. Anywhere this happens, always, this is the rule in material existence. So the demons actually know what the standard is. They actually know. But they can't admit it because it jeopardizes their project to become God. But they actually know that here's somebody who's really bona fide. You see? They know. I had this very interesting, edifying experience in Mauritius. Mauritius is maybe 60% Hindu country, all imported laborers. They didn't know that they were slaves until they got off the boat. They were promised that we'll give you land of your own and you can have your own, because they were dirt poor in India, the poorest of the poor. So they thought, this sounds like a good deal. They were out and out cheated. That's another story. But there were Tamils also. Still there are many Tamil people in Mauritius. So there's a lot of karmakanda pundits there, because the people have their material desires, and as they do here, they bribe demigods and they try to fulfill their material desires in that way. So I had a conversation with one pundit, and we were talking about this, and he told me frankly, he admitted, actually, we know everything. We know that Krishna's God. We know the Bhagavad Gita, we know everything what Prabhupada is saying. We know that this is true. But we can't admit this because what will happen to our livelihood? He was honest, at least. I have to give him that much respect, but at least he was straightforward. He admitted. And I've seen this time and time and time again. Those people who most vehemently fight against anything dharmic, they actually know that it's true. They actually know. But they can't admit it because the desire is stronger than reason. Desire is stronger than reason. Have you noticed this about humanity? That humans, they're not so rational most of the time, is it? What motivates us in this world? We want so-called love, we want prestige, we want money because it serves both purposes, you see? Like we were discussing this last night. People want Sita without Ram. That means that people are like Ravana. So, anyway, the demons also really, inside they appreciate, but externally they make so many shows. They make up so many ideologies, and they make up so much propaganda, and they give such stiff opposition, and they cry, and they kick and scream, and they whine in so many ways. This is an interesting thing, actually. Shankaracharya says, what is the etymology of the word Shudra? Does anybody know? Yes, exactly. The opposite of the Brahmana. Brahmana is described in chapter 18. Brahma bhuta prasannatma na shochati na kanshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhakti madhate param. That Brahman realization is the substrate of bhakti. Just like now you've got this construction going on, you know that you have to have a very solid foundation. So the foundation of real bhakti, bhakti param, he says, is this Brahma-bhuta realization. As somebody who realizes Brahma, he's a Brahmana, factually Brahmana. We have different kinds of so-called Brahmanas, that's another matter. Anybody know the verse? It's in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Janmana jayate shudra. By birth, by default, you're a Shudra. And we've already mentioned, in modern society, you're even worse than that. Samskaratu bhavet dvijaha. You can become twice born by undergoing samskara. From samskarat, samskriti syat. From samskara, you get samskriti, culture. In English now they have an interesting phrase, because there's heavy politics now in the United States between the liberals and the conservatives. So someone was saying that politics is downstream from culture. Maharaj and I were having a conversation about this yesterday. Politics is downstream from culture. What does that mean? It means your political parties are only a manifestation of the way that people live or want to live. Now, this is a fairly well-known phrase in America nowadays. So that if someone else adds into this, a religious-minded person, I think Catholic writer, said that, okay, that's fine, but culture is downstream from one's theistic position. Your position vis-a-vis God. What is your position regarding God? That is going to determine your culture. So in this way, we find that those persons who want God, they become pious, they follow dharma, society flourishes. Those persons who do not want God, they become envious, they deny God, they invent some concocted system, it fails and they suffer. So Hiranyakashipu is trying to push his agenda here. And he's hoping that he can wipe out Vishnu because he's that covered over. Believe me, it can happen. Be very careful. You can actually get yourself into this consciousness that you think you can actually pull a fast one on Lord Vishnu. Why? Because our hearts are like mirrors, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. And if you're in sattva-guna, brahmana, then your heart is relatively clean. You have some sense of dharma, even if it's wrong. And this is the problem here in India. They have any sense of dharma, but it's usually wrong. If you go to a place like North Korea, I think they have no conception of dharma. Even if through Buddhism they've inherited that word. But they really have no... When we first translated Srila Prabhupada's books into Chinese language, it was a big problem. You know why? Because there's no word for God. Well, what do you do? There's no word for God because there's no concept, see? So... You can actually become so covered that you don't even know that you're a spiritual being. You don't know that it's a mirror because the dust is so thick. You can't tell that it's a mirror anymore. That is in Europe, Africa, most of the world actually, outside of Bharatvarsha. People just, they're so covered over. And here it's described also. He's so covered over that he's thinking he can defeat Lord Vishnu. So be very careful. How do devotees, what is the main problem devotees have to be careful with? Aparadha. Aparadha. Namaparadha, Vaishnavaparadha, Guruvaparadha, Sevaparadha, Dhammaparadha, so many different kinds of offenses. The only thing that can check your advancement in bhakti if you're following this process is aparadha. So we have to be very careful because through aparadhas, we can actually get so covered over. I saw this happen to one of my godbrothers, whose name I won't mention. But he was associating with the Babaji class at Radhakund. And he developed some envious ideas and mistaken conceptions of spiritual life. And he actually had the unmitigated audacity to come to Srila Prabhupada and say, please give me your blessings that I can find a bona fide spiritual master. What an inconceivable offense. He actually said this. And Prabhupada was so angry. And Prabhupada immediately ousted him from ISKCON because, as Prabhupada said, we have nothing to fear from the outside, but we have everything to fear from inside. And on another occasion, Srila Prabhupada said, The biggest threat to your children is that they have to associate with you. Because we have so much inside our own hearts. Bhagavatam says, very nicely, Pungsan kalikritan doshan dravyadeshatma sambhavan sarvan haritichittastho bhagavan purushottamat. Three kinds of contamination. There is contamination from our environment, including our society, that we've already discussed. There's contamination that's coming as a result of, you know, having no facilities. We say dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Why artha? Because you cannot do even dharma without some degree of artha. You have to do something. you see? And a person who has no facility is at a disadvantage. It's true. And the third kind of disadvantage or dosha that we may have is atma-sambhava dosha. It's coming from inside of us. We brought it with us. We're talking about sanskriti through samskar. That's called kusamskar, bad samskars. Ugly things in our minds. The residue of so many animal existences of the past. So, anyway, if we can push through this thing by becoming sattvic, then we can approach Brahma-bhuta realization. But if we don't do that, we remain shudras by default, then shudra means he's... The Brahman means he's not shochati. He's not crying or complaining or blaming other people, whining about his problems instead of solving them. But the shudra does this. So Shankaracharya says this is the definition of a shudra. You created a mess, you have to eat that karma, and then you blame everybody else for it. So Shankaracharya was wise enough to see that. Anyway, so the demigods, they depend. This is the point. You can judge who is advanced in spiritual consciousness by how dependent that person is. It's very hard to hear this when our hearts are infected. That's why we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is indirect glorification of the demigods by the demons, the fact that they appreciate their full dependence. Because it's a hard thing to embrace dependence if we're envious. Even we know, you know this quote from Duryodhana, what did he say? Janami dharmam nachane pravritti. I know it is dharma, but I can't do it. And janami adharmam nachane nivritti. I know what is adharma, but I can't help myself. The Christians in English, they have an interesting saying also. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see? That's why we chant the holy name of Krishna. Golokera premadhana harinam sankirtana. Nama chintamani Krishna chaitanya sabigraha. We were discussing this verse last night. It is the most auspicious of all auspicious things. It is the most purifying of all purifiers. It destroys all the contamination of Kali Yuga. It's everything you need to traverse the path of liberation. And then he says, in addition to that, Vishramasthanam ekam kavivaravachasam jivanam sajjananam. The best of the poets, they cannot find anything greater to glorify than this holy name of Krishna. That's what it means. Vishramasthanam ekam. There's only one place where the best words of the most choice poets can possibly end, and that is in the holy name. Jivanam sajjananam. Those who are actually honest, sajjana means a gentleman, ladies and gentlemen. Those who are actually honest, sajjanas, sat means real. Suhrit satam, as Bhagavatam says. These people, it is their life and soul. Therefore it says here, Vishnu prana devaukasaha. Jivanam sajjananam. It's the same thing. It's like breath, prana. You cannot exist without breathing. Actually, that's the reason I'm here right now. Because every year in April, in Vrindavan, we get very, very heavy allergens. So some people have asthma. And last year I got asthma suddenly. I had to go to the hospital and be ventilated because I was not able to breathe. If you can't breathe, you've only got a few moments to do something about it, right? Otherwise you die. So, just appreciate the implication here, Vishnu Prana. When we actually, Prana is one of the Sahasranamas also. Huh? Prana. Or there's a mantra that say, Mukhya Prana. So Vishnu is our Prana. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dhana Prana. We've already mentioned Dhana. Dharma is the real Dhana, so Vishnu is the Prana. You see? So Hiranyakashipu thinks that these demigods will dry up like withered leaves if I can get rid of Vishnu. But he doesn't know that he can't get rid of Vishnu. Vishnu is going to get rid of him. Mrityu sarva harashaha. So we don't want that end. We should embrace this holy name of Krishna with full attention, in full sincerity, and go back to Godhead in one life. It can be done. Just we have to be dependent, and we have to be submissive to the good instructions of Guru Sadhu Shastra. That's why Srila Prabhupada, he asked us to sing this song every day. Guru Mukha Padma Vakha Chitete Kori Aikya. Because it really is the key to all success. Yasya Deve Parabhaktir Yatha Deve Tatha Guru Tasya Iti Satita Hirtaha Prakashante Mahatma. All the imports of the Shastras are revealed to a person who places faith in the spiritual master as much as in Krishna. I'm going to stop here. Does anybody have any questions or comments or anything?
In Nectar of Devotion, there is one story about Maharaja Mayuradvaja. In this story, Krishna looked like really good, and a fit person. He asked Maharaja Mayuradvaja for donation and asked for cut them of his relatives. And as this story has continued, because in this book only states that Krishna asked for cutting Maharaj Mayuradvaja, and what happens after? Why Krishna asked for this cruel donation?
I don't understand your question. I doesn't sound like I know the answer here. You want to restate it simply?
Okay. In Nectar of Devotion,
okay.
There is a story about Maharaj Mayuradvaja.
Okay. Mayuradvaja or
Mayuradvaja?
Mayuradvaja.
Yeah.
Which one?
There was a king who made whole his kingdom devotee of Krishna.
Yes.
And Krishna came to him like as Brahmana. Mm. And ask for donation.
Mm.
And when Maharaja Mayuradvaja asked what donation you want, Krishna answered that I want that your wife and son cut you. I want half of your body. Is it not cruel and political way?
Well, yeah, we can discuss this in person. Because I would want to review that passage before really speaking to explain it. Because it's not fresh in my memory. Sorry. Anything else? No questions. Okay, so thank you very much. All praise to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.